Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking for an all-natural solution to skincare? Try Simply Cita all-natural skincare products. Coconut oil locks in moisture with nature's finest organic solution. Rich with vitamin E and rejuvenating proteins, it can help with enhancing skin nourishment for wrinkles, skin damage, tissue repair, and more. Simply Cita skincare line includes Simply Cita coconut oil, Simply Cita bath salts, and Simply Cita bath gel. Get healthier looking skin today. Order all three today for $40 at www.simplycita.com. And I know for a fact that it helps with diabetic edema. My husband has edema on both of his legs. He is insulin dependent, and he also has very dry skin on his feet and toes, and it has made a world of difference. You definitely want to go to www.simplycita.com and order her products today. They do not have any unnatural ingredients or any preservatives. It is all simply coconut oil with maybe a little jasmine. Order it today. Are you looking for a website creator that will make your website stand out above the herd? Are you looking for someone that knows your needs and can create a website that is not only eye-catching, but one that will stay with the customer as they scroll through the net? If so, contact Wellhaven and Associates. Lourdes Wellhaven has the magic touch when it comes to websites. You give her an idea and let her run with it, and she will create something beautiful. If you don't believe me, check out authoryvonmason.com and see what she has done for me. And here's the great thing. If you contact her and give her my name, she'll give you $100 off. So don't wait. Don't delay. Call today or go online and look up Wellhaven and Associates and send her an email and tell her what you need. She will get back with you promptly.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Off the Chain, and I am your host, Yvonne Mason. And every time I listen to that last part of that ad, I just laugh because I can just see it happening. Tonight's guest, and before I introduce him, I want to say that tonight is our 20th show. We went live the last Wednesday of July. As of this morning, when I checked the numbers between the archives, between all of the podcasts, between iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, TuneIn, MixCloud, SoundCloud, Podcast, Podcast.com, and Spreaker, we have 3,406 listeners. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is amazing to me because my philosophy is to pay it forward. I do not charge my guests to come on my show. I do not ask them for anything except an hour or 2 hours of their time because I believe that we are only as successful as we allow someone else to be. I am booked through January the 24th, but I am also taking bookings. I know there are authors out there. I know there's musicians out there. I know there are activists out there that have a platform. Get in contact with me. I'm easy to find. Get in contact with me and let's set up a show. It's as simple as that. We're just having a conversation, you and I and 3,400 of my closest friends. That being said, tonight, this wonderful friend of mine who has honored me with being a guest on my show, by the name of Robbie Cox, is an author. I met him a couple of years ago at an event. It was his first event, And we sat next to each other, and I hope that I was able to give him a little bit of wisdom, because I've been doing these for a long, long time, and put him at ease. I remember the first event I went to. I walked in the door, and I saw all these people, and I'm going, I don't know any of these people. I think I'll go home now. But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, because I made a whole lot of new friends. So I hope that Robbie was made to feel just as welcome. Robbie lives in sunny Florida, where he spends his days, where he can usually be found tucked away on his back porch with a cup of coffee while listening to the voices in his head and working on his latest manuscript. He has enjoyed a freelance career writing for several magazines and sharing some of his interesting viewpoints on life and those around him. Now, while he does enjoy traveling with great friends and their families, most often he can be found at home grilling out and sharing a laugh with those who matter to him most. Robbie published his first book in 2013, and then he realized he was not satisfied writing in one genre. He is a man after my own heart. He is the author of the Warrior of the Way series, an urban fantasy that takes place along the Indian River in Florida, and several contemporary romance series, such as the Rutherford series, Fangirls, and the Harper Twins. He also has written a paranormal romance, Come Halloween, as well as a Christmas story, Ribbons and Bows. While currently finishing his Warrior of the Way series, Robbie has enough works in progress to keep him writing for the next 15 years and all kinds of genres. Welcome, Robbie. I am so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. Now, I gave the people a little bit of our history together. Let's talk about our history and then tell me how you started this journey to get where you are today.
Well, I was glad I got to sit beside you. If I remember correctly, you were on one side of me and Bruce Buckingham was on the other. And it was my first event, first time we had ever been at a signing, and we had no idea what to expect. And luckily, you were great giving us advice and helping us get set up and everything else. The girls did a good job getting the table set up. We even sold some books, which made me happy. So,
always makes you happy.
It always makes it worthwhile, right there. We had some great support. Some friends showed up. And said hi to us and supported us, and we got to meet a lot of people, made some great friendships there that first time with a lot of the local authors, so that was a great foundation upon which to build.
Tell me a little bit about Robbie Cox. Tell me about your journey to becoming published in 2013.
Well, 2013 was the culmination of about 30 years of frustration. I actually started writing back in middle school, about ninth grade, and it was a way of just stories of avoiding having to listen to the teachers talk, actually. I wasn't a very good student. I'd rather be doing a whole lot of other things. Actually, in high school, we started our school's literary magazine, Spindrift. I was one of the first people involved with that and published a few poems and a couple of flash fiction pieces. And then after high school, it took me a few years to get started, but I actually started freelancing for different magazines. I've been in parenting magazines, religious magazines, retirement magazines. My very first article was actually published in Decision magazine by Billy Graham.
Wow.
And in the meantime, I was still writing fiction. It was just all in a box, a lot of short stories, a lot of partial manuscripts and stuff like that. I think every author has a drawer full of partial manuscripts. And about 2010, I started a blog. Which, ironically enough, we called The Mess That Is Me, and it was basically just my smart-ass comments on life. like, men have eight colors. We only have eight colors. Watermelon's not a color. It's something you eat. You know, it's that type of stuff. ranting about people who just won't drive and stay at a stoplight forever, and just different things in life that I saw that I put a funny twist on and could be a smart aleck about. And from there, about 2012, I published my first short story online called The Circle of Justice, which is actually now free everywhere, and can actually has an excerpt behind it of each one of the chapters of my books.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment because
sure.
My co-host has just signed in. You remember Kelly Koch?
Yes. Yes, she was with
well,
you.
Hi, Robbie. How are you?
Hey, Kelly.
So she's going to co-host with me tonight. I just happened to look up and see her. So continue. This is really interesting. I'm loving this. Tell me how you got here.
Well, so after we published the first short story, I had another short story, which actually was entitled Warrior of the Way. And the girls and I looked at it, and there was a whole lot more story there. And so we stretched it and made a novella out of it and called it Reaping the Harvest, which became the first of the Warrior of the Way series. Up until that point, everything with life and everything else, all the different jobs and everything else kept causing me not to sit down and write. It was an excuse, really, causing me not to sit down and write. So finally in September of 2011, we made the decision that we were going to take the chance and just go for it and do writing full time. So we did that, 2013 Circle of Justice, or 2012 Circle of Justice, 2013 Reaping the Harvest. The next year I published two books, Losing Faith, which was the first of the Rutherford series, and then I published a collection of the blog posts from The Mess That Is Me. And then
now,
it's been, I think last year was five books or six books.
Speaking, let's go back up to the blog because this thing really interests me. Why did you call the blog The Mess That Is Robbie Cox?
Well, if I can't pick on myself, somebody else is going to do it. So I might as well get the first crack at it. and that was the mess. It had no structure. There was no pattern. There was no rhyme or reason. We were all over the board with it. And it was just to show that I'm not very big on stereotypes or traditional viewpoints on people. I'm a guy and I hate sports. I'd rather sit and listen to a Broadway musical. I'm just the opposite of what people would classify as your normal type of male individual in the South. And so I came up with a mess. I'm the opposite of everything you think it should be. And make fun
normal.
Of myself and other people.
Define normal. You know, we always say, what is normal for the spider is chaos for the fly. So
true story.
It is, to me, that is normal for you. Anybody that is, Kelly can attest to this, anybody that has ever met Robbie, he is an amazing human being. Isn't that right, Kelly?
Well, thank you.
Yep, that is. He definitely
thank you
very is.
Much.
I enjoyed the entire weekend sitting next to him. We had a great time that weekend at that show. You are going to be
did.
At the Cocoa Beach next year in June, aren't you, I believe?
Yes, Space Coast Book Lovers. I better be there. The girls are going to have my hide since they're the ones putting
they
it together. They're going
to hurt you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, I'm knee deep in it. Yeah, that's actually going to be a great time. It's going to be like a three-day event, and we've already got like almost 70 authors, I think was the last count, signed up, and readers. We're going to have cover models. We're going to have bloggers showing up, and a bunch of other things going on. It's just going to be a great, great time. I love these big author events where you can really network and meet people and meet readers and stuff.
And we're going to be there, too.
Yes, I'm looking for it. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time. And you've already stayed at the hotel, if I remember correctly, Yvonne, right?
Yes, we stayed
at the hotel
many
times.
It's one of our favorite hotels.
Yeah, and they're sinking like something like $12 million into it this year. So by the time we get there, it's going to be it's going to be amazing. But, right on the beach, you can't beat that.
No, you can't. I mean, this hotel has everything that you can imagine. Its own restaurant. It's right on the beach. It has two pools. It's pet friendly. I can't say enough about International Palms and Coco. Every time we've stayed there with the Senate, it has just been absolutely amazing. They just go over and above for us. So, yeah, just go for the hotel. But since we're on this event next year, let's go ahead and pimp it a little bit. Tell the folks what the dates are and what it's called and what we're all doing there.
Well, it's the name of the event is the Space Coast Book Lovers event. It starts Friday. Actually, I think it starts Thursday night, to be honest with you. Now I'm going to get in trouble. With a meet and greet Friday. It actually does Thursday night meet and greet. Friday it's going to be all day with seminars and workshops for authors and readers. Readers will be able to get together and play some games with different authors and meet. And then there's a function going on that night. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. Sorry, Terry. Then Saturday is the early morning book signing. And then that afternoon, there will be a volleyball game with cover models where some of the readers can get together with the cover models that appear in all these books that they like to buy. And play a game of volleyball and sit around and talk. There is also a blogger dessert, which I think is actually Friday night or Saturday night. And there's some featured bloggers that will get together because the bloggers really help, like yourself, Yvonne, with the radio show, really help the authors get the word of their books out and everything else. So we're going to be featuring them, and they'll get time to be able to come and talk to the authors as what they can offer them and everything else and feature themselves, and there'll definitely be dessert. And then Sunday morning, we're having a come-together breakfast where everybody can say what they liked about the event, what they didn't like about the event, and how we can make next year's better because we already got 2018 in the works.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the events, and that's what really spurred us to do this. We've been to some amazing events. Tyra Wilde does Book Obsessed Babes in Jacksonville, which is actually going to be in Jacksonville and Destin, Florida this year. Shannon Bell, Todra Candle, who do some events in Orlando. Vicki Dahls, who did one for us way over in New Orleans last year, put on these huge events that usually have 250 to 300 readers come through the doors at least. And they're there to see authors, which is great. It's almost like a rock concert at times. We've had some great times meeting these people and getting to know some of the readers who enjoy our books. And it's just fun, just the different things that we've enjoyed. The very first time I went was in Jacksonville. It was the second event after the one where I met Kelly and yourself. And the difference in size was astronomical. It was a large event, so I was even more scared going into this one, not knowing what to expect. But the people that came through, yeah, it doesn't take much to get me nervous.
But you're so good at what you do, Robbie.
I go and I have fun. And if authors, the one thing I notice about some authors when they go to these events. And I wrote a blog series on this, a five-part series called Getting a Seat at the Table, which I may actually be teaching at a couple of different events for different authors the next year, is you don't go with the mindset you're going to sell books. Go with the mindset that you're going to meet people, and you're going to meet other authors, and you're going to meet readers, and you're going to get your name in their hand so that they can take
exactly.
It home. Because in today's technological age, the truth is a lot of people, as sad as it is, don't buy physical books. They go home and they buy the digital. I've had people buy the digital copies of my books while they were standing at my table right there thumbing through my books. And to me, that's just as great as if they bought the physical book, you know, and then I'd sign something for them and we'd take a picture and it was great. So you have to go to these events with the right mindset. And for us, it's always been, let's go have some fun. Let's see what happens this time.
And network with people and meet great people whose friendships stay with you. I mean, we've been friends for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've encouraged each other and helped each other. And It's important because as independent authors, we have to have that band of brothers and sisters. Because if we don't,
Amen.
We're lost.
Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate in this industry to be able to surround myself with such great people, such as yourself, Kelly, Sherry Rentschler, Garrett Promector, and so many others, Stephanie Stacker and Tyra Wiles and Leanne Rumsford, who just come around and help me with if I'm stumbling in an area that I don't know how to do something, they're very easy to teach me. And
yeah,
likewise,
because you're open.
Mm-hmm. And I got great friends like James Jackson up north in Detroit who were all great about sharing each other's stuff. It's not all – that's the other thing that people need to realize is don't make it about yourself. Once you start making it all about you, you've lost the battle.
Absolutely.
If you make it about other people, such as yourself, paying it forward. If you pay it forward, it's going to come back to you. So make it about other people. Help other people.
Because what happens is not only does it come back to the person that's paying forward, it comes back 10 times over. In fact,
oh, yes.
Kelly, I'm going to let you tell the story about the new author you just got.
Okay. Got a phone call the other day, kind of out of the blue. We're friends on Facebook, but this gentleman and I really never discussed doing anything with his books. And for anybody that doesn't know, I'm a publisher, not an author. I take what they write and make it pretty and put it out there for y'all to buy. But he called me and wanted to know if I'd be interested in looking at his manuscripts and doing his books. He is not even in the state of Florida. He actually lives in Michigan and was unfortunately ripped off by somebody else in the past with his work. So we've had a couple of conversations. We're working on a contract. And then yesterday, out of the blue, he called me again and said, I have a friend that writes poetry. Can you do poetry? So I'm expecting a call from her as well. So a lot of the authors I get are by word of mouth. It's not, you know, not like I go out. I mean, I do go out to the book shows and things looking for authors to work with, but most of them come to me because they've heard through Yvonne or Tom or somebody else that I've already published that I'm good at what I do, and I'm not going to rip them off. So then I get phone calls from people, and I get more business that way.
And that's what, Robbie, you've been saying, is if we all help each other, we all benefit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, I want to... In one of your blogs, I was reading your blog the other day, and in one of your blogs, you talked about bullying, specifically
mm-hmm.
bullying in the workplace, and your feelings on bullying in general and bullying in the workplace. Let's talk about bullying a little bit because it is a hot topic for people of all ages. It's not just children who are bullied.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. The workplace, there's a great guy on Twitter, I don't know if you've met him or not, Felix Naster, who works with the workplace environment in these type of situations. And I've known people who have gone in and their boss basically tried to dominate their entire life. And they're afraid to go against him. And threatened him, or he would threaten them and stuff like that, or just even the sexual innuendos or anything else. What sounds funny around the water cooler isn't always funny to everybody. And it stems from my own childhood when I was actually bullied quite a bit in high school because I was a scrawny, four-eyed kid. And the bigger kids just thought it was fun to punch on me. And it's rampant even more, especially on the internet and everything else. I'm sure, I mean, you know this, people get online, they don't have a face, they just have a name, they can say, all of a sudden they've got guts they've never had before, and they're saying all kinds of things to try and hurt people. And we've seen them send vicious emails and everything else, the high school bullying with kids. And just to see it, like a young kid take his life because he couldn't take it anymore, or the opposite, go into the school and take other kids' lives because he was tired of facing it. It gets to a point. And I've had people look at me and say, teach your kid not to be the victim. And I can understand that mentality to agree, but it's like, teach your kid not to be a jerk too, you know? It's
exactly.
You can't blame the kid. Yeah. Okay, the kid isn't a victim, so he comes to school with a gun the next day. He's no longer a victim. Now he's taking out your kid who you couldn't control, you know? So it's an issue that I think is rampant, that there are several people. I think Jamie Engle in Brevard, one of our local authors here, has written a book on bullying and stuff like that that's actually been added to the school curriculum for people, if I remember correctly.
That's it. My daughter-in-law.
It should be taught in school.
My daughter-in-law just messaged me and said that October is anti-bullying month. So mm-hmm. I just had an epiphany while you were talking and while she was messaging me. Why don't the three of us work on something to blow out there the entire month of October about anti-bullying?
Oh, sure.
I just read something today where a 9-year-old boy committed suicide because of bullying. A 9-year-old should not have enough problems in his life or enough people bullying him that he even wants to commit suicide, let alone succeeds at it.
Well, you know, we had to take the granddaughter we lost out of school because she was bullied, because she was ill. And she had skin conditions, and they called her contagious and all kinds of horrible, horrible names. So the decision was finally made for her peace of mind, because she had asthma too, and for her peace of mind, they took her out of school and homeschooled her.
Right. Yeah, it's sometimes you got to do what you got to do for your children, but we still need to face it with everybody, and it needs to be made aware everywhere, in high school especially. I think middle school and high school is probably the worst. Middle school is where everybody's starting to feel each other out and fight for the hierarchy that happens in the school system.
Don't you think that bullying begins in the family nucleus, that a child is either bullied at home or sees the bullying at home, and then he takes it out into the world?
Oh, you mean the one who's doing the bullying?
Yeah.
He sees it from somewhere. He's threatened, perhaps, whether it's home or his brothers or friends or whatever it is, gangs or whatever. He sees the hierarchy happening, and he wants to be part of that, and he's got to get tough and make his mark. So, yeah, he definitely sees it. I mean, I don't think kids start out, I'm going to be a bully when I get older. I think it's taught behavior.
Oh, I believe that. And I think a lot of times if there's a father figure or a boyfriend or a stepfather that's a bully, they think that that is the way one is supposed to live.
Yeah. Yeah, learned behavior. I agree.
So
definitely.
We'll work on that. But what made you want to write the different genres that you write? I know we're switching gears here, but Your genres are like mine. They're all over the place. They are the mess that is Robbie Cox. You've got romance. You've got paranormal. You've got fantasy. Do the voices just not shut up in your head at all?
Never, never. And I'm glad they don't. They keep me company quite often. They keep me busy for sure. All of my stories, if you were to boil them down, is a study of relationships. And some relationships, I think, are better explored in different genres. Richard, and when I did Reaping the Harvest, the first of the Warrior of the Ways series, I wanted it to be a study of not everything that we see is what we've been taught is right or wrong, which the good guy winds up being, or actually a lady, one of the ladies who come out to be the good guy, is actually a prostitute on the street. The bad guy is a pastor of a church. which are two roles that in today's society we would have flipped. Just because
exactly.
We're used to the pastor being the good guy and the prostitute being the bad guy. But in this, but in reaping, it was a study of not everything is as we've taught it to be. We've been taught it was. Everything else has been a study of relationships. How does this relationship work? Paranormal. The Come Halloween book, my paranormal romance, I just thought it was fun to explore. What happens if you can bring your husband back from the grave every year? And that's what it is. Kelly found a witch who could bring her husband back on the anniversary of his death, which happened to be Halloween. And she had to fight between letting go of the past, him, and grabbing a hold of what might be a possible future with her coworker, Derek. When by the end of the book, you're wondering, is she going to go with Derek or is she going to stick with Jared, her dead husband, who she can still see?
Interesting.
So, Circle of Justice was just what there are people who are pro-gun, there are people who are anti-gun, and for whatever reason your stance is up to you. My whole reason for writing Circle of Justice was not to be pro-gun or anti-gun. It was merely to show the different reasons why people use the gun. It's a short story. I think there's 6 segments in it, maybe. Where a 9mm gun falls into different people's hands through different circumstances, and it talks about the motive behind why these people use it. And somebody used it for a crime, somebody used it in self-defense, somebody used it and didn't even realize they were using it. So it was about the motives behind what could actually happen and why people would use it.
What about Roll the Dice?
Roll the Dice is my second in the Rutherford series. Morgan Brewer made an appearance in Losing Faith, which is the first book of the series. And he was a scoundrel. He has been divorced twice and is not looking for his third wife. He's just wanting to be with as many people as he can be with. And so I decided it was time to give – he needed his own story. So at the end of Losing Faith, we moved him to Biloxi. And he comes across this woman whose husband died a couple years ago. That seems to be a theme for me lately. Her husband died, and she's just it affected her so much that she can't let go of anything. She's got a frosty exterior. She's goal-orientated. She's task-driven. She's got a mission to rebuild Biloxi after Katrina, there's still a lot of stuff that needs to be rebuilt there. And she's not going to be persuaded. And he starts out thinking he's going to be the one to melt her icy exterior. And so it's the cat and mouse play between the two of them as to whether he can do it or whether she's actually going to put him in his place. And it's about taking a chance on love again.
What about Infinite Possibilities? Your titles are just mesmerizing.
I can't be given credit for that title. Infinite Possibilities is actually an anthology with 7 different authors. It's free on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, everywhere else that it's at. Stephanie Stacker, who I mentioned earlier, came to us with an idea of started out with 10 authors, wound up being 7. We each started with the exact same sentence in order to begin our stories. And from that sentence, we were to spur off to whatever we wanted, romance, paranormal, anything that we wanted. I actually did a story called Enter the Witch based off of the 2 witches that we met in Come Halloween, which will in turn begin a whole new series called The Witches of Savannah. So it was basically to show how one sentence could have a ton of different possibilities for stories. It was a
Started out as a writing exercise, and you have books.
Yeah, it was great. The authors were great. It's got some decent reviews. I like it. It was a really fun project.
What about Fangirls? I remember you were either working on Fangirls or had just finished the first Fangirls when you came to the event.
Fangirl.
One of those was up for an award here recently because I've been voting for
it.
It
was. Fangirls Nikki was nominated. Fangirls Nikki and Come Halloween was nominated for the Summer Indie Book Awards, which actually we're supposed to find out the winners come Sunday. So that was very humbled and grateful for being nominated for that. And we had a ton of people voting for it, so it was, excuse me, it was a fun experience for that too. But Fangirls, I subscribed to several different emails, and one of them was a puts out we're looking for a call for submissions. I contribute to this anthology, and they tell you what they want, and I take some ideas from those. And that would be neat to do. So Nikki, which was the first of the Fangirls story, started out a short story about a missed connection where she goes, she says hi to the guy, she finds out she likes him, but then all of a sudden he's gone and she doesn't know how to get back with him and then somehow find them, get back together again. Sort of like, I guess, that movie Serendipity.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls and I were sitting down talking about this, and I'm thinking, you know, this would be just fun to do with different people. And we did it based off of the author events that we've attended. So Fangirls,
wow,
for the authors or the cover models that go to these events. And there's five stories. They're all out now, actually. I finished them, finished Willow in July. So all five are out. It's Nikki, Lily, Cassie, Olivia, and Willow. And each one follows a different – some of them are authors and some of them are readers. They show their crush, and you have 5 to 8 chapters. I mean, they're very short. We actually call them our lunch break reads because you can read them on your lunch break, and that was the whole purpose. We only sell them for 99 cents. They're very short reads. Actually, I've been sent emails and Facebook messages about people who were happy that they were that short. One lady told me that she could read it and then not have to put it down in order to rush to go get dinner ready. She was finished and she felt satisfied with the story. The last four, well, actually all five intertwine, but the very first one is a standalone Nikki, really. But I didn't know she shows up in the other ones. But the other four are all intertwined where you see the different characters and you see the beginning of their stories, but you don't really get the rest of it until you read their actual tale.
So it's actually all the way down the line to you finish the last in the series.
Yeah. Well, each book finishes for that person. So each book is a story in and of itself, but you do see parts of the other characters' stories woven in between the other tales.
Tell me about sibling rivalry.
Sibling rivalry. You familiar with NaNoWriMo?
Yes.
Someone challenged me to do that. And for those who don't know, it's the month of November where you try to write a novel in 30 days. So you try to write 50,000 words in 30 days. I decided 50,000 words wasn't good enough, so I challenged myself to write 80,000 words. And I wound up with a 95,000-word novel.
Wow.
Which was Sibling Rivalry.
Wow.
And basically, yeah, it was, oh, my goodness, the girls would come up and try and talk to me. I was like, leave me alone, I got to write these words. We didn't do anything for the month of November. It was I was in my recliner typing away. Sibling Rivalry is a fun tale. There'll be a second one to that one, but it's the story of Amy and Carla, who are twin sisters, who, because guys were always trying to date the twins, made a rule in high school that they would never be with the same guy. And later on, when they're about 25 years old, we meet the guy who's determined to make them break that rule. And it's a struggle between the two sisters fighting over one guy.
That sounds
then,
about normal.
Right.
Well, it's
Carla
teenagers.
Harper. Teenagers, yeah. Amy is the main character in that one, Amy Harper, and her sister, Carla, who is really, she is really a piece of work in a sibling rivalry. She has a lot of issues, and she winds up getting her own book. It's going to be called Taming Carla, and it should come out next year.
Well done. Ribbons and Bows.
Thank you.
Now, this is your Christmas book, right?
There is a Christmas book. It'll actually have a sequel to that one this year called Under the Wrapping, following with the Ribbons and Bows theme. Basically, it's another short one, not as short as the Fangirls, but a little shorter than Come Halloween, a little novella. It's about three roommates, two guys and a girl. She winds up having a relationship with both of them, but the guys don't realize it until one day she gets caught. And she's just hoping Santa Claus can, she's just hoping Santa Claus can come and give her some happy relationships with both of them. So it's a study in both guys are complete opposites. One's a shaggy-headed professor surfer. The other one is a strict lawyer, very dominant personality, and she likes what both of them have to offer. Offer her, and she gets caught between both of them, and she's hoping that, like I said, Santa Claus can bring them both in her stocking. So it's a study in relationships for me.
Tell me about A Confused Life.
A Confused Life was the one we published right before Losing Faith, I believe, or right after Reaping the Harvest. Basically, it's a collection of the first 2 years of the Messing With Me blog post, a selection of them, with, I think, 10 to 15 new essay articles that have not been seen on the blog at all. So it's basically biography and memoirs, my smart aleck comments, and takes on life.
So one could say that you run the gamut of human condition.
Yeah, I think everything's a study in human condition, yes.
And while all of your books have that human condition theme, they're all different as daylight and dark.
Yes, because relationships aren't the same. Yeah, so, and I like to explore different relationships. Losing Faith, the first a romance book that I wrote, is a study of where a married couple, Faith and Selby, decide to open their relationship up to outside sexual experiences. And the other thing I would say before I go any further on that, I do not write sex in my books to write sex in my books. If sex is not part of the story, then I think it's just a waste of typewriter paper.
I knew I liked you for some reason.
I think that sex is natural. I really do not like the term clean books because to me sex isn't nasty and dirty. Well, it could be. But, you know, it's natural in some things. So when I write the books in the romance, like Roll the Dice. Roll the Dice is a sequel to Losing Faith, but there's only, I think, two sex things in the entire book. And it's because it naturally flowed into that and it proved the character.
One of the books that I absolutely hate, and Kelly can probably attest to this too, that I refuse to read is that Shades of Grey, Fifty Shades of Grey.
Oh, 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah.
Yeah, because go ahead, Kel.
It's sex for the sake of sex. That's all it is. 50 different ways the same guy has sex with different people.
Hmm.
No, yeah. I don't need to read that.
I have some great friends. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I have some great friends that write sex for sex books, and I've read some of the books, and they're great books. I personally, when I write erotic romance, I write it with a deep story. I want the story to be the main thrust of the book. Pardon the play on words. The main PowerPoint of the story. And not just the sex. I want the sex to be a byproduct. So I don't, a lot of my books, Come Halloween, Ribbons and Bows, and Losing Faith are very erotic books. The compliment that I've gotten back from people who have read them is that they are very story-heavy books. The characters are real. The one thing I get complimented on a lot, which I find very, very humbling, is the fact that people love my female characters. Why am I a guy who can write the female characters? One lady wrote that on a review. She really only bought the book to read it to see how a male wrote those type of books, and came away impressed. And I was, that made my day, hearing that and seeing that on the review. But I've seen people who have done it successfully. People love Fifty Shades or they hate Fifty Shades. I've never read it, so I can't. So I'm not going to say. But there are some. I think there's a. You got to know what it is that your goal is in the end. There are some people that's their goal, and if it works for them, you know, that's great. Like we said, we want to see everybody succeed. And I've met some fantastic people who write those type of books. And who knows? Since I write so many genres and I'm a mess, I may write one day. But for me right now, my stories are character driven. And if it doesn't happen with a character, I just can't force it.
Not only are your stories character driven, but they are life's lesson. Like you said, you do a study in the human component. So your books reflect life's lessons that even though the story is fiction, someone can carry that with them and learn something from it.
Yeah, and to me, that's the other reason for writing and reading, even in fiction books, is you should learn something. You should have your, even if you walk away saying, I would never do that, you should at least walk away with some type of being challenged in some way. And a lot of my books, that's what I like to do. I like to challenge, like Reaping the Harvest and Losing Faith, both. I like to challenge people's traditional views on life. And I think we've hit a day and age where some of that is happening. I think some of it's overboard. But I think it's definitely not the 1950s.
As an indie author, you have that literary license to explore the different possibilities out there, where if we were more traditionally published, they would put us all in a box and say, you can only write it this way. But because we are indie authors, you get to do whatever you want to, which is a beautiful thing.
I think you said something earlier, I don't know if it was before the show or during the show, about the indie world and today's day and age, whether it's music or art or whatever it is that you're doing. Now is the time for people to do their own thing without having to bow down to the main album signings or the main traditional publishers. And indie authors and indie musicians and indie artists are getting seen now more than ever before, and it's easier for them if they will put in the work and the effort to get noticed and to get recognized and be successful.
It is. It really is.
The internet has expanded the possibilities for everybody that's an independent author, musician, artist, whatever they choose to do, creative kinds of folks. The internet has helped them a lot. They can be seen all around the world in 10 seconds, where you might not get seen around the block in 10 years in the past.
Well, it's like the YouTube awards.
I think that's been a big help to people like you guys who are independent authors to get your work out there and get it seen and get it acknowledged. In the past, you had to have somebody pushing for it and getting it into bookstores and getting it someplace that people would buy it. Now you can do that on your own with the help of an independent publisher such as myself, or, you know, there's many ways to do it with the internet out there that were not available to anybody prior to the internet.
I agree. People are putting their music up on YouTube and on iTunes and getting great success with it. Same thing with indie publishers. Of course, that also winds up having it's a double-edged sword. It's so easy for us to be able to put out a book now that there are a lot of books out there that should not be out there. People won't study the craft. They just write a book and they don't believe in editing or formatting or doing anything that's required to put out a polished, professional-looking piece of art or piece of writing and music. So the audiences have to weed through a bunch of stuff to get to the cream of the crop. And
that is true as well.
You gotta make sure you shine. Yeah.
I have read books. As a matter of fact, I just read one last week that it was not edited or proofread, I don't believe, because it was just that bad with mistakes, spelling, wrong words, all kinds of stuff, that I was just amazed that they actually had it put out there.
Well, yeah. What is sad, what is really sad, is I have read books published by the Big Six, as we in the indie world call them, that I don't know where their head was when they published it. And these were well-known authors. And I think that in general, they've gotten sloppy because, you know, they were slow to embrace the Internet like we did as indie authors. They were very slow to embrace the Internet. And once we took off, they looked around and went, wait a minute, what are we missing here? And in the interim of doing that, they've gotten sloppy with their work.
Yeah.
And I think part of that's just the general dumbing down of our society. The people they're hiring to do their proofreading and their editing are not as, I hate to say this, but they're just not as intelligent as the people they've had in the past. You know,
it's possible. A lot of people are doing it themselves.
Society has decided to, you know, dumb down because, oh, these people can't pass this test or this way, so we're going to change it so they can. Makes it harder for everybody. I, in the past, have employed people, and it's very difficult to find ones that actually live up to my expectations.
Robbie, we have about
yes.
8 minutes left. What I want to do is I want you to tell everybody where you can be found.
The best place to find me is www.robbiecox.net. From there, you can find me on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo. If it publishes books, I'm probably there. Matter of fact, you can even find Reaping the Harvest on Walmart.com. I just found out a couple of weeks ago. So.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, it was a surprise to me. I saw some other authors posting their Walmart. Nobody knew it was happening. All of a sudden, we just found out. So they struck a deal with Create Space, and so they're selling our books. So
Kelly, you can check our books.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, do a search. They haven't got all my books, but I do have Reaping the Harvest right now. So
cool.
That's a great thing. But RobbieCox.net, you can find me there. You can go to all my Facebook pages, Instagram, Pinterest, Goodreads. The method is Robbie Cox on Facebook is also the fan page. You can go to that and I post daily just about, so make sure everybody says hi when they come by.
When I have a guest and it gets towards the end of the evening, I don't care who the guest is or what their platform is, I always ask the guest the same question. And this is especially important for newbies who are starting out either as authors or as musicians or artists or even starting a business. What bit of wisdom that you have gleaned from your journey would you give these newbies?
First, I would say if you're going to be a writer, you have to write. You need to finish what you've written. And don't give up. The creative process is the fun part. There's a lot of work behind the scenes. But I would also say study your craft. Read books on writing. There's a ton of them out there. Read books on plot. Read books on grammar. Read books on characters and voice, and then just keep writing. Your first draft is never your best draft. Don't ever put that out. Third, fourth, fifth drafts. Let editors read it. Spend the money to get a good cover and do the things that you need to do. And get out of the chair. That's what actually turned things around for us is when the girls, and by girls, I need to say Charlene Cox, Terry Edney, and Sarah Mick have done great getting me to where I am today. They're the three girls that are behind me. They're at the events. You met them 2 years ago. They're the ones that really make me look good. They're my first beta readers. They're my first editors. They're my cover designers. They do it all for me. And you need people like that behind you to get you out of your chair because as writers – I would have stayed in my recliner just putting out stuff and never getting out and meeting everybody. And that's where things turn around with the networking and the speaking and the all that other fun stuff that I've done. But write and read. If you're going to be a writer, you have to be a reader, and do both as much as you can.
Now, do you agree that if someone has a dream, and we don't care what that dream is, if someone has a dream, that should be their total focus in life. That should be what they pinpoint on when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed at night, when they're eating, sleeping, whatever they're doing, that, and they're never too old to make that dream real.
You're never too old to make that dream real. Everybody has a dream, but the ones who make them come true are the ones who actually put shoe leather to their dreams. And you got to live it, breathe it, and eat it. And you could talk to any of our friends that surround us. We have some great group of friends and family. If we are not, if at some point during our dinner out or during our cooking grill out in the backyard or pool or beach day or whatever it is we're doing, even a trip to Disney, if the topic of books and writing in the author world does not come up, they would be surprised. It's what we talk about all the time. And they're very supportive, just as we are of their dreams and what they want to do and accomplish. And that's what makes it go. You have to put effort into it and go after it. The difference between, to me, an author and a writer is really the author is the one who continued writing all the way to the end.
Yep. Well said. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. My co-host tonight is my publisher with Dressing Your Book, Kelly Koch. If you're looking for a publisher, contact her. She is on Facebook. She also has a website called dressingyourbook.net, Kelly?
Nope, dressingyourbook.com.
See, it's late in the evening. My brain went brain stupid. My guest tonight is author Robbie Cox, and he has written some marvelous books. I have read his work, and I'm going to tell you, you cannot put it down. His books are Reaping the Harvest, Losing Faith, Infinite Possibilities, Circle of Justice, Fangirls, Roll the Dice, Sibling Rivalry, Ribbons and Bows, A Confused Life, and Come Halloween. You also want to read his blog called The Mess That Is Robbie Cox. It is fall down funny. But you also learn some, it is, it's hysterical, but there's also life's lessons. And even though Robbie has only published books since 2013, in 3 years he has put out all of these works, and he doesn't stop. And just like we talked about earlier, you're never too old to make your dream real. And you can say all day long, well, shoulda, woulda, 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 woulda. And my daughter-in-law said, not true about dreams. Sometimes they change. Yes, sometimes dreams do change. But when that dream changes, you grab it and you run with it like you stole it. It's still a dream nevertheless. You still work towards that dream, and you still can make it happen. We are getting down to the final few seconds of tonight's show. And Robbie, I wanted to say thank you very, very much for honoring me with this interview. It means the world to me, and I appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I had a great time. It was great talking with you, to you and to Kelly, and talk about books and writing. It's one of my favorite topics, obviously. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Kel, thank you, honey. Thank you for co-hosting with me tonight, and I will call you when I get off here. And ladies and gentlemen, do yourself a favor. Love yourself. Be kind to yourself. Live and laugh, because right now is all that we have. Live your dream. Make it happen. And if the dream changes, go with the flow. It's still a dream, and it's still important, and it is still you. You can find Robbie on Facebook under Robbie Cox. You can find me on Facebook under Yvonne Mason. You can find Kelly under Kelly J. Koch and Dressing Your Book. Look us up. Friend us.
Definitely.
We'll help you on your journey, because that's the kind of people that we are. We believe in making dreams real. It's very important because we enjoy paying it forward. And with that, I will say I love you both very much, and I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. You ladies have a great night. Thank you.
You too.
You too, Robbie. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Hopefully. You ladies have a great night.
All right. Good night. Okay. Are y'all all still on? We can talk for a few minutes.
Yeah.
It'll show up in the archives. So when I upload all this stuff, and then I'll go on YouTube and on iTunes and on TuneIn, and I'll send you those links. And then when I upload the other podcast, I'll send them to you and use them to promote your work.
I will do it. Share and share yourself as well. I will share you too. Yes.
Thank you. Tell people I'm a guest.
I'll send some authors your way. I'll send your way too.
Absolutely. And I will talk to you later, my friend.
Thank you. Well, it was a great time. I had a blast.
I did too, honey. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.